that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger, inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the Red Sox On Deck Prospect Podcast. I'm your host, Bob Osgood. My co-host joining me as always is Shelley Verstraete. Shelley, were you up for the conclusion of that Braves-Red Sox game on Wednesday night? I'm sure you are up, right?
I was not up for that.
Some fan you are.
I was supposed to be because I know. I am just, you know, a basic Red Sox fan. Just them going just that long was really hard. I was supposed to record, you know, a podcast, you know,
right,
on this thing. But nope. Once it passed, you know, 11 at midnight.
Yeah, you guys didn't want to dial it up at 1 a.m.?
Yep, nope. I was sleeping at 1 a.m. I was not ready to talk to anyone at 1 a.m.
I'm a bit of a sicko, and
I was
still up, and it was crazy because they didn't even, on Nesson, they didn't put an alert of when the restart was happening. I saw something on Twitter that they were taking the tarp off, and there's, you know, some fishing show on Nesson or something, and then all of a sudden, just snap of the finger, and Josh Taylor is throwing a pitch in the seventh inning, and it was just like, where did this come from? You know, and just out of nowhere, no warning, and here we go. And it rained for the entire hour. It had been an official game. I don't know why the hell this was necessary in the first place. I don't think anybody on the field or in the crowd, well, except for the 50 drunks where you could hear everything that they said next to the microphone down the stretch. So it was mildly entertaining, but I think I paid for it today, staying up till that time. But anyways, some you know, maintenance and reminders that we have, whether it's the On Deck podcast or any of the other ones at Over the Monster, please leave us a 5-star rating and review if you're enjoying the show on whatever platform that you listen to. We also have the Over the Monster podcast with Matt Collins and Brian Joyner. We have the Red Seat with Jake Devereaux and Keaton Tarosier, and the Precap, which unfortunately didn't happen last night with Shelley and Keaton, but we'll be back soon this weekend, I'm sure. So we'll move along to some minor league news and notes, which starts with Franchi Cordero finally being sent down. I know we've talked about it a good amount. Cordero had a WRC plus of 36, which means that he was 64% below league average. He had a 179 batting average, 228 on base, 274 slugging. Not really what anybody is looking for. So, you know, he needs to go down and work on some things, work on putting the ball in play. It was nice to see him hit about a 500-foot home run a week ago, but other than that, not a whole lot in early on in the Franchi era. I don't know, Shelley, what do you think? There's an open roster spot, as this was an off day today. It wouldn't be Michael Chavis because they just sent him down. So any ideas of who they might fill that role with?
I mean, my initial thought was it definitely was going to be like some just kind of like relief pitcher. I mean, there were a lot of people who were just saying, Jaron Duran, Jaron Duran. But, you know, like he is with Team USA and he's not even on the, you know, the AAA roster. So,
right.
Sadly, it's not going to be Duran. My initial thought was it's going to be Brandon Borkman.
Sure.
Because he's been with the team before. He's been okay at AAA. While it's not great, it's been okay. So that's where I was just kind of hitting, you know, just like, yeah, it's been okay. We know, quote unquote, we know what we know with Brandon Workman. Maybe he'll get the call. So that's kind of where I was hitting.
Yeah, and that's a possibility. You know, I kind of went more with looking at the 40 man. I think Workman could easily happen. There are some maneuvering that they could do. There's rumors of could you put Hudson Potts on the 60-day IL, you know, which starts his, I think, service clock with the major league team. But it's not, that's not someone that you're looking at service time manipulation or anything like that, 6-7 years down the road for Hudson Potts. So it's a possibility they could do that because he's not going to be back anytime soon. I looked within the 40, Brandon Brennan, he's 29 years old, and they'd claimed him off of waivers from Seattle in May of this year. He's on the 40. I feel like they've tried to make those spots, every spot from 1 through 40, as valuable as they can. I don't know if they'll keep Brennan on the 40 man if they didn't want to use him. So I think we'll see Workman at some point, as well as some other possible relievers that we have on the rundown today. But I'm going to go with Brandon Brennan. He's thrown 5 innings, hasn't given up a run yet at AAA Worcester. 7 base runners, 7 strikeouts, you know, throws in the mid-90s with a plus changeup. So 2 pitches, he's getting guys out, he's been effective, and he has a little bit of experience in the major leagues with Seattle. So I'm going to go there as my guess, but it easily could be somebody that's only up for a few days. They have 10 straight games coming up in 10 days against Miami, Houston, and the Yankees, so pretty big stretch. And they seem to want to keep that extra pitcher, and with 10 games in 10 days, I do think it's going to be a pitcher. As we know, it won't be Chavis. And as you mentioned, the Olympic qualifiers. We're not going to see Jaron Duran, which we probably should have started with that. I guess it's not impossible, but he's already left the team in Worcester to go join that qualifier team. Tristan Cassis from AA as well is going to be on the United States team, and Jeter Downs is joining his brother Jerry with the Columbia team. So all of them are going to be away for presumably close to 2 weeks as they play in those qualifiers. And that doesn't mean that any or all of those players will be on the Olympic teams when that comes around later in the summer. But yeah, kind of what are you hearing, and how do you think that might affect things with Duran? Does that, you know, push him back just to when he gets back, and then you think he might get a call, or kind of what have you been reading about Duran joining that USA team?
Yeah, I mean, I really do think when it comes to Duran, it really does affect him, because I mean, he's been really, really good at AAA, and if he wants to compete on the Olympic team, he obviously cannot be on the major league team. So this is really interesting. He can still, you know, participate in these qualifier matches. But if he still does what he has been doing, I could see him being called up. And I mean, honestly, I think that it's really up to him. But yeah, I don't really expect Duran Casas or Jeter Downs to really just, you know, really help the Major League team in the immediate future.
Yeah, and this wasn't, it wasn't something I thought about. Of course, I thought he'd be up by May, so I was way off with that. That's officially out the window. He had an unbelievable game on over the weekend. I think it was Saturday. He was 5 for 5 with 3 runs, 2 homers, 3 RBIs. Raised his average up to .299. Had his 6th and 7th home runs. He's got 12 RBIs. He's got 4 steals. But in between that, there was a mini slump, like you could call it. There were, you know, I think he had a 1 for 12 stretch in the 3 games before that, and had an 0 for 5 in the game after, before he left the team. So, you know, we see all of the big home runs, and they're no doubters, and they're 40, 50 feet out of the park. And that one game, he was fantastic over the weekend, but, you know, it's not like he has torn the cover off the ball night after night and forcing his way in. He's just hitting some long bombs that end up, you know, in our social media feeds and such. But I mean, he's definitely positive outcomes so far for Duran, and still certainly think that he's probably within a month or two, but might be a little later than we were hoping for, which is okay. We'll see him this year. I'm fairly confident of that. So, and as I mentioned, Jeter Downs, Jerry Downs, with Columbia, Jeter and his brother. And then what we were going to do this week is kind of work our way up. So 2 weeks ago, we covered the AA and AAA. Last week, we covered A-ball. You know, we were thinking about going back to just Portland and Worcester this week. But in Greenville and down at A-ball in general, there's been some really interesting performances. I thought that we would start with a couple of names, Cameron Cannon and Brian Bayo. Cannon we discussed last week, and he's continuing to surge down in Greenville. He had a grand slam on Tuesday, has hit for a good average so far this year. He's hitting .321, 4 homers, 12 RBIs, and has 2 steals. He's on base 37% of the time, continuing just to stay hot down there, and it's good to see. Along with that, Brian Bayo, I think that he, I'll send it over to you, Shelley, actually, to start with Brian Bayo. What have you seen so far? And, you know, is he shooting up your prospect list, Red Sox, you know, into the maybe top 20?
I am really, really excited about what I've seen from Brian Bayo so far this year. I mean, he has a 39% K percentage, and he's only walking like 5% of the batters that he's facing. So he has a K to BB ratio of basically 34%. Like, that is amazing. He's, you know, he has a good, you know, fastball changeup kind of combination here. And he's really working on that slider. But, like, I really want to see him at AA right now. Because, I mean, he's just absolutely dominating high A. And I am loving it. And, I mean, you know, I know this isn't a fantasy baseball kind of, like, podcast. But in kind of, like, my deep dynasty leagues, I picked Brian Bayo up. Like, I really like what I've seen.
Well, it looks like I'm late to the party then, because we're in a couple of leagues together, so it's too bad. I'll have to look for him elsewhere. We were already going to talk about him tonight after that excellent start that he had late last week. 5 innings, 2 runs, 10 strikeouts, and then he pitched on Wednesday, and it is the same thing. 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks. He's 4-0. With a 2.11 ERA in 4 starts. You know, you mentioned the strikeout rate is fantastic. They're letting him go 5 or 6 innings. He had you know, you mentioned the fastball and changeup and how he's working on the slider. I was most impressed by the slider yesterday. It was falling off the table. It was running down and in on lefties. I kind of went back and watched a good amount of that outing, and the lefties are all chasing that. The pitching ninja swords that they have, the gifts that he'll put out there. That's what these guys are doing. They're all check swinging and they're not even close to it. So, and then he had the changeup that was running away from left-handers and was getting a lot of swing and misses on each of his three pitches. So I'm definitely most excited about Bayo kind of in the early going in terms of moving up the list. I think he's gonna, you know, as a few prospects have graduated, and then now we're dealing with some injuries, especially on the pitching side of things that we talked about last week. He's going to put his name into the ring with those higher up pitchers that we talked about early on. Bayo's going to be in that mix, at least so far. Like you said, he's probably ready to make a move, whether that's another start or two, but he's dominating that level. So I'd like to see him at Portland, and hopefully that move's coming soon. A couple other names, Tyler Dearden and Tyreek Reed. We talked about Reed a little last week, had his fifth homer, which was a walk-off we were mentioning in last week's show. Since that, he's hit three home runs, and so he's got eight overall. I believe I saw that he was leading that league, the East, in A-ball with eight home runs, average up to .283. He's a little older for that level. He was one of the Rule 5 minor league pickups. Actually, two names on our list today between him and Caleb Orr, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, in Worcester. Both were in that minor league Rule 5 pickup. But between Reed and Tyler Dearden, who was a 29th round pick in 2017, age 22 Greenville outfielder, who's hitting .308 with a ton of walks, 14 walks, to go against 24 Ks. So his on-base percentage is .463. Dearden kind of was thought of as more of like an organizational outfielder, I feel like, but, 46% of the time on base, that is what it is. So any thoughts on Dearden or Reed?
I just, when, we were kind of like talking about what we wanted to discuss with this pod, Dearden and Reed, like, I just want to give them some pub, and how they're just killing it for High A Greenville. Yeah, I don't necessarily know how it would, like, really go for them as they progress, but I just want to give them kind of like a hat tip. I mean, Dearden has 5 home runs so far. Reed has 7, for High A Greenville. And I'm really impressed. And I didn't really expect them to do these things. Really unexpected.
I agree with you. And I think kind of throughout that infield we talked about a little last week is, it's encouraging, that whole group. And it's not as easy to just say these guys need to move up, because where are they moving up and who's moving up from AA to AAA and the majors and all of that. But, we're 3 or 4 weeks in, and, you give players a couple of months unless they're really knocking down the door like Bayo is, and see what happens and see if they make a move, especially, Reed a little bit older and, moving on to Portland, similar situations with some older prospects, but that are playing really well in the early season here. And this isn't confusing at all. There's Johan Meneses, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and then there's also Joey Meneses. Both of them are at Portland. Meneses is an outfielder. Meneses plays a little first base, a little bit of outfield. But Johan Meneses has started this season off. He's age 25. He has 9 home runs and 17 RBIs, and I think kind of similar, either tied or leading their division at AA, hitting .281, on base percentage of .387. Older for the level, and then you've got Joey Meneses, who is 29 years old. That's kind of at a point where he should be to continue playing professional baseball. He should be hitting at that level, but you know, he's hitting 296 and 4 homers and 17 RBIs, and they've both had some clutch hits late in games, go ahead home runs between Meneses and Meneses over the last week. So you know, not a whole lot. I don't think these are players, unless they continue to tear it up, you know, if Meneses has 9 more home runs next month, then maybe we need to start talking about that a little bit. But just some players at Portland as we work our way up that have been interesting and have been key in getting some clutch hits in some of the recent games.
Yeah, 100%.
And so figure we'll move up to Worcester. Now we're up to AAA. Finally getting Pawtucket out of my system. I think I've got Worcester down at this point. We talked about Durant had that 5-for-5 day. He's going to be away for a little bit. Caleb Ort is the other name that was a Rule 5 pickup, and he came from the Yankees, actually, which is interesting because Whitlock was a Rule 5 majors draftee, and then Tyreek Reed was the minors round 1 Rule 5 pick, and Caleb Ort was the second round from the Yankees. Reed came from the Texas Rangers. Without getting into details of how the Rule 5 minors works, is not the same. You don't need to have them up with the organization for an entire year like Whitlock needs to be. But Ort has been excellent. I think he's had 9 or so innings. He hasn't given up a run yet. He's closing out games, has several saves so far. Another situation where he's not on the 40, but I kind of could see if they had any injuries that Ort might be one of the earlier call-ups as a reliever. What have you seen, and do you have any thoughts on Ort? He's kind of a name that came out of nowhere that we didn't discuss in the preseason at all.
Yeah, Ort kind of, I mean, I know that we, like you said, you know, we picked him up from the Yankees, just kind of as like a minor league guy. I honestly didn't really, you know, look too much into him,
yeah.
But he has performed extremely well, right? Like, I mean, I honestly thought that maybe Durbin Feltman would maybe get a call here or there or just something, but yeah, Caleb Ort,
yeah,
has been absolutely amazing. I would love for him to be added to the 40-man. I would love to see him in the major leagues, you know, coming out of the bullpen. He's been performing extremely well.
Yeah, and we, you know, talked about Bizzardo in that role, but with the I think, lat injury that he has, it doesn't sound like he's going to be back anytime soon. Got Ort's numbers up now. It's got 5 saves, actually, with just 1 unearned run in 9 innings and 12 Ks. So he's closing out games effectively, and he's 29 years old, so certainly a name that is coming out of nowhere, but he's, the reports that he's touching 98, seen some highlights here and there of him closing out games, and he looks confident, missing bats and throwing strikes. Which is important. You know, if he's going to get the call up, he can't be wild. He's only walked 3 in 9 innings, and I, you know, reading his reports in the past, he had some command and control problems. So, interesting name that I think if he continues, we could see him later this year up at the major league level. Couple other notes. Michael Chavis was sent down and actually broke up the no-hitter in the 9th inning against the Philly AAA team, the Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs, what a name that is. But Chavis got up, hit a line drive into center field to break up the no-hitter last night. So not a great night for Worcester. Kyle Hart got the start at starting pitcher. Remember Hart from last year? He was very ineffective at the major league level. It turned out that he had been sick and pitching through some things last year. He had been excellent the previous 2 starts. He had thrown 13 innings, given up 1 run. So I was interested to see, you know, as we've talked about just starting pitcher depth that we're going to need this year, whether if he put a 3rd one in a row together, might be a name that should be back on our radar and maybe, you know, give Kyle Hart another chance. He gave up 5 runs and 3 1/3. So he's been up and down, but 2 great starts before that. And then the last thing, you know, we mentioned Downs leaving for a couple of weeks, but we want to touch on the strikeout issues that he's had a little bit so far. Jeter Downs at Worcester.
Yeah, I mean, I've been you know, obviously I've just been kind of like looking at a lot of like the top prospects. And Jeter Downs' like strikeout issue is kind of being like a little bit concerning. I mean, he has a 38%, you know, strikeout rate. He's only making contacts about 66% of the time, which is really not that great. And I'm just seeing him just flailing at pitches. And it's kind of a thing that we did see when he was with the Reds organization. He went from the Reds, to the Dodgers and then, you know, to the Red Sox. And it's just kind of a thing that we saw when he was with the Reds. Like, he was a really free swinger. And I think that he's kind of gotten back to that part where he's just trying to just go for power, just all these other things. So, yeah, sadly, I think Downs is probably going to, is definitely not going to debut this year. He has a lot of work to do, maybe with his patience and stuff.
Yeah, and it's important to note that he, before this year, as a result of things out of his control, but he'd only played 12 games above the A level. And, you know, alternate sites 100%. And all of that stuff, you know, you see good pitching, but he's playing in real games against normal competition in... but as you said, the strikeout rate is, it jumps off the page at 38%. He'd been in the first 3 years, 15%, 19 at low A, 20% at high A, and then in limited action, 18%. So you're right. I mean, this is something we have not seen a number above 20% yet, and it goes right to 38. So yeah, I think that the chances are dwindling that they're going to want to get him on a roll. It could be that, you know, the second half of the year he cuts his strikeouts down, and then maybe they start next year to make sure that his second go around at that level, that he's totally ready. But he is he's 22 years old still, so
yeah,
give him a year or so. You know, still on most everybody's list, the number two prospect in our in the Red Sox organization. So, but definitely something to monitor, and maybe a little time away and playing in those Olympic games and being around some other players or the Olympic qualifiers, clear his head a little bit, maybe, you know, pick up a couple of tips from some veterans and get back down there and hopefully get on a roll when he gets back in June.
Yeah.
All right. And then I thought we would just finish up with some draft updates. There are mock drafts all over the place. You know, we talked about MLB Pipeline a good amount. Baseball America came out with another one. Keith Law came up with his first mock draft for The Athletic. We won't review all of them. You know, I recommend taking a look and seeing the write-ups for all the players that we've talked about that are going in the top 4 or 5, and in some cases all the way down to number 7 picks so far. But the three names that we saw MLB Pipeline had: Henry Davis, the catcher, going to the Red Sox at 4. Baseball America had Jack Leiter, the pitcher from Vanderbilt, going to Boston. And Keith Law had Kamar Rocker going to Boston at 4, which was interesting because Leiter is on the board at 4 and has him going all the way down at 6. I haven't seen a whole lot of Rocker going ahead of Leiter, either on kind of lists or mocks so far. You know, what Law said was the Sox seem to be in on Rocker, Leiter, and Davis, and seem extremely likely to get one of them, which is backed up by those are the three names in the three mocks that came out this week. The other quote that I thought was interesting and slightly alarming if they went this route, but Jim Callis from MLB Pipeline said that the Red Sox feel like the absolute floor for Jack Leiter, meaning that he should go no later than the 4th pick. He doesn't think that he'll get to them. Said Henry Davis is the best college position player available, that the high school shortstops would also be attractive there to Boston if either of them fell, but Boston could cut a deal with a lesser college bat to save money to spend big later, which I know that's what they did last year, but I don't know what you thought of that quote, Shelley, because I want nothing to do with that. I want one of these big names.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, I did not hear that quote, and you just reading that quote just made me just, like, sigh. Like, there are a lot of really interesting guys. We have the fourth pick. Right. Stop.
This isn't the year to do it.
100% this is not the year to do it. Yeah, sure, if you want to do it last year, that's totally fine. There are a lot of really interesting names.
Franchise altering
players.
Do
not try to... 100% do not, you know, try to be cute with this pick here.
You've touted Henry Davis a lot, and wow, the hype is there. You know, seeing him even go number one in Keith Law's mock is interesting. Because, you know, we were talking about there on our initial preview, an outside chance that, you know, if they go outside the top four, they might reach for Davis. Well, now he's in the mix for the first pick, and wow, he has a lot of helium.
It kind of makes me a little bit scared that maybe we won't get him, because I really do like him, but I mean, I also like Rocker. I also like, there are a lot of, like, really interesting picks in the top five, top six, and just seeing that Davis has kind of moved up a little bit, like, I'm really excited because I really like Henry Davis, but I'm like, I'm still a little bit conflicted. Like, I don't know where, if I was like the Red Sox and just trying to figure out who I wanted to pick with the fourth pick, I don't know. But that makes me really excited. To be like, yeah, we have a lot of, like, really interesting guys here. But then when you put in that callous quote of, yeah, we're going to save money, it just, please don't save money.
I'm all set with that.
There were a lot of good guys here.
Well, yeah, and there's some exciting stuff coming up. The conference tournaments I know are going on now, and then it's going to be into the kind of the regional rounds the next week or two, and then we'll have the College World Series, and certainly hoping Vanderbilt gets there. I want to catch as much Leiter and Rocker as I can in the upcoming weeks. So, I don't know, between Major League, Minor League, and College, there's not enough hours in the day, but going to try to catch as much action as I can. So, all right, that's our show for today. You can reach both of us. We're on Twitter. My handle is BobOsgood15. Shelly's is Shelly_V_643. Shout out to our pals over in England that have been checking in with us and throughout Europe. We appreciate everyone over there. You can catch me at the Dynasty Guru. Shelly is writing at the Dynasty Guru and over the Monster as well. So that's our show for today.